America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. About 100 years ago, an author by the name of Upton Sinclair wrote a book called The Jungle that revolutionized the meatpacking industry in the United States and a lot of other things. In the novel, which is still required reading in a lot of schools today, it describes the story of Lithuanian immigrants who just come to this country and were working in pretty terrible conditions in a meatpacking plant in Chicago. Basically, they worked, they got very little wages, they got one day off, Sunday, and if you lost an arm, it just got chopped up and placed in the meat, and you probably also lost your job. Upton Sinclair wrote that novel because he wanted socialism in America. He wanted unions. He wanted workers' rights. He wanted to defend worker conditions. The president at the time, Theodore Roosevelt, read the book and said, "We need safer meat." He didn't do much for worker conditions, but one thing he did do is begin the Food and Drug Administration to at least make sure that the workers' arms, if they fell off, didn't end up in the meat. Since that time, we have come a decent amount of the way. We have certainly labor rights. We have union rights. But one would question sometimes whether we've gone far enough. I want to talk this entire hour about the Smithfield Foods Corporation. Now, the Smithfield Food Corporation is the largest pork producer in the United States. You probably see it in your grocery shelves. And their largest facility is in Tar Heel, North Carolina. There they have more hogs killed than any other facility in the United States. They get tens of thousands done per hour. They have 5,500 workers. And the problems at Smithfield Foods, well, they've been described as pretty bad. We have unions saying they've tried to unionize and been stopped by worker intimidation. Even the D.C. Court of Appeals, including two judges appointed by Republican presidents, Ronald Reagan, and our current president, George W. Bush, agree with the unions that there was intimidation, that people were not allowed to join the unions. People were fired because of it. A lot more problems have come into play. Things like Smithfield having their own police force and using it to do false arrests of union representatives, or getting the police in North Carolina to do these false arrests. There have been charges of violence, charges of having Smithfield employees, one spying on the other. There's been questions about inadequate worker safety and injuries. In fact, some workers say that basically if you get sick, it's kind of like the situation in Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. They work you hard, you get sick on the job, and then you got to get a new job. They're going to fire you. But what about all those protections that we've had since the 1930s and the 1960s? What about workers' compensation laws? What about health care provided by the corporation? Well, Smithfield does provide an in-house medical facility, but there are complaints about that as well. There are complaints that the doctors aren't looking out for the workers, and in fact, what they're doing is treating the workers just enough to get them back on the job with little concern for their long-term health and safety. Workers' compensation claims in North Carolina are the slowest in the country. They take 78 days to process. Many workers can't live without a paycheck for 78 days, and they know that if they file for workers' compensation, they're going to lose a job. Now, that's against the law, but when it comes to getting food on your plate or trying to claim a huge corporation is violating the law, many workers just assume stay quiet. I want to show you some of the workers' complaints that are on a website called the Justice at Smithfield campaign. Let's look at some of these workers' complaints, and then we're going to have a spokesman from that campaign a little bit later on in the hour. If you look here on their website, and you, I don't know, you probably can't read it. We'll see if we can make it a little bit larger for you to read. But we have the case of Denise Walker, and this woman at the top, she was sexually harassed by management at Smithfield and then fired for medical reasons. What she writes is, "I'm only 23, but my hands are hurt pretty bad. When I worked at Smithfield, I hurt my hands and my back, developed pneumonia, and had a miscarriage from standing too long on the job. I also had to deal with sexual harassment from the managers. They could touch you and make nasty comments, and there wasn't nothing you could do," she says, "unless you wanted to lose your job. I had so many health problems from working there that they took away my disability and finally fired me for missing work, even though I was in the hospital at the time." She says, "People done been killed at Smithfield. People be falling down on floors. People been cut. People always sick. One time I was inside the building and the plant was on fire and they kept us in there working." Pretty harsh stuff. It's not just Denise Walker. We can scroll down and look at Paul Bruce. Paul Bruce was fired from Smithfield, he says, after taking time off for chemotherapy. The man had cancer. He tried to get chemotherapy. That was enough for them to cut him off. They wouldn't follow the Family Medical Leave Act. Vanessa McLeod, the next one on the list, says she was denied workers' compensation after a back injury left her unable to work. They said you'd be fired if you joined the union. The list goes long on and on. Valeria Luisa Rivera, they fired her because her arm was swollen and she couldn't work. The bone is broken and splintered. Abel Cervantes, permanently disabled after an accident in the plant. He's got 8 siblings and his parents. He's their only means of support. And basically, he had to get a lawyer before they started paying. Ivarildo Lopez, fired after being injured on the job, denied workers' compensation. Maria Rodriguez, Angela Pisano. The list goes on and on. Now, Smithfield, as I said, has been cited by the courts for the history of not allowing workers to join unions. In this opinion by the D.C. Court of Appeals, which we can show up just on the screen a little bit here, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia is a very conservative circuit court. This is a court where most of the judges are appointed by Republican presidents. And in this case, 2 of the 3 judges were Republican. And they held, scrolling down on the opinion, that Smithfield was violating the practices of the National Labor Relations Board, not allowing people to join a union, intimidating people, and they ordered Smithfield to follow the law. Smithfield has a response, of course. And by the way, I invited Smithfield representatives to be on this show. They have said that they didn't have enough time, but they will come on a future show, and I welcome their coming. We're going to try to schedule that in February or March. I want to hear what they have to say. They do have a statement, and I want to read from the Smithfield statement to hear how it is that they justify and explain what's going on. According to Dennis Pittman, he's the corporate communications director at Smithfield, what he says is that the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union has been trying to unionize the Tar Heel, North Carolina plant for more than a decade. Smithfield believes that employees should decide what is best for them. We have invited, Smithfield says, the UFCW, to schedule a new secret ballot election at Tar Heel. To ensure a fair election process, Smithfield has offered to share the cost of a neutral third-party observer, such as the Carter Center, to oversee the election. Rather than accept our offer to schedule a union vote, according to Dennis Pittman, the UFCW is circulating false information about our plant. It has called on customers to stop buying Smithfield products, a move that will ultimately hurt the very employees it claims it wants to represent. We believe the union is engaged in acts of extortion. Here are the facts about our company, says Smithfield. Smithfield is not anti-union. More than half our workforce is represented by a union, and many are represented by the UFCW. Smithfield says the Tar Heel, North Carolina plant is among the safest in the industry, that Smithfield provides fair wages and outstanding employee benefits, and that Smithfield aims to be the most trusted food company in America, and they advise you to go to their website, smithfieldfacts.com. We do have a representative from the Smithfield Justice Campaign who is with us right now. I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much.
Lila McDowell, what do you do at the Smithfield Justice Campaign?
I'm the communications coordinator.
The communications coordinator. Now, are you connected with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union?
Yes, the Smithfield Justice Campaign is a wonderful coalition that includes the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, other labor groups, as well as the NAACP, and numerous other immigrant rights, civil rights, faith organizations. I think we've all come together because the abuse at Smithfield is so egregious that it sparks the conscience of anybody who learns about it.
Lila, you should know I opened the show by showing a lot of worker statements and all the things that they had said had happened.
Good.
But as you were walking in, I did read the Smithfield statement.
Right.
And they say, look, if the workers don't want to join a union, that's not our fault. They don't have to join a union. We've offered to have a new secret ballot election. Now, you and I both know, we talked about the courts have said their last 2 elections were unfairly held. There was intimidation and so forth. But they say we will have a new secret ballot election. We'll even share the cost of a third-party observer, such as the Carter Center. Why not call their bluff and hold a new secret ballot
election?
Well,
what they're actually calling for is the same election that they had, you know, that they've had always had at the Smithfield plant in Tar Heel, and a very similar election that they had not too far from there at the Wilson plant. Every election that Smithfield has ever had, they're all secret ballot elections. They're NLRB elections.
National Labor Relations Board elections.
And every election that they've had have been marred not just by minor violations, but really horrific violations. I think one of the court cases called it massive violations of the law. And these violations include things like beating workers. In one case, they beat a worker and a union organizer. They assaulted them. They told them to write "vote no" on pigs. The N-word was used. Racial epithets were used. They were found to have not only intimidated, harassed, and threatened, but illegally fired people. And you know,
one of the things the court mentioned is they would put up a sign in front of the workplace, basically saying you have no union rights.
Right.
And if you vote, if you vote the wrong way, you'll be fired. And obviously, they said that sign was an illegal practice. But
right.
Smithfield.
Well, they actually also fired a number of
right.
workers. And I think the thing is that unfortunately, you know, when the Federal Appeals Court found that Smithfield had done all these things, Smithfield never admitted that they did anything wrong. They did comply with the ruling because there was no way to appeal. It wasn't a constitutional issue. And they had to pay over $1 million in back wages to people whose lives they really had ruined by firing them. The problem with the process that Smithfield is talking about is that, let's say you had a secret ballot election tomorrow, so-called secret ballot election. And let's say Smithfield did everything it did before. Let's say it beat workers and, you know, fired them and intimidated them and harassed them and coerced them, everything that it's done in the past. And what would be the recourse of the workers? The recourse of the
workers... They'd have to go back to court again.
National Labor Relations Board,
which regulates worker safety and union rights for the U.S.,
right.
They'd have to file another complaint.
And that would take... The last one took a good 9-10 years.
But let me ask you this. Since the court opinion, which I've read, the D.C. court opinion basically says, if you violate these laws again, you're in contempt. Now, that's a stronger sanction than originally. Originally, people complained. It had to go all the way up. You're right. It took a 9-year process. Now, contempt can be quite severe. They can jail the people at Smithfield for violating these laws. Isn't there an incentive this time, maybe after all this is over, for them to do it right?
Well, I think what the workers are saying is that, you know, there were negotiations held. And what they were asking Smithfield to do is to promise to stay neutral. They were asking Smithfield, just stay out of the process. Just let us vote. Let us be able to exercise our choice without intimidation, harassment, and threats. And Smithfield refused to do that. And that's really the fundamental question, whether you have, there's many different forms that can be fair. You can have card check votes. You can have majority sign-ups, which are basically the same thing. You can have elections. But the main thing is that when you have your employer, you know, who has so much power and of coercion over you, what the workers were saying is we need them to stay out of it. And during the whole negotiation process, and even today, right now, they have fired workers. Workers are coming and telling us that they're being harassed and intimidated.
Tell you what, we need to hang on because we have to take a break. But we definitely want
sure.
to hear more from you. We also want to hear from you. If you want to join in this discussion on any point of view, you want to defend the unions, defend Smithfield, maybe you have a story of your own, maybe you won't buy Smithfield products, whatever your view is, give us a call and let us know. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish.
If you give someone a fish.
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Back to the Inside Scoop. According to the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, there is a large pattern of intimidation at Smithfield Foods, particularly at their Tar Heel facility, the largest pork processing plant in the country. Workers have complained about injury problems, safety issues, not being able to file worker compensation claims, when they're injured, being fired from the job, issues of sexual harassment, racial incitement, all kinds of things. The plant says this is all the union. They're making it up. They are, in fact, suing the union for racketeering, arguing that the union is trumping up these charges in order to convince people to join the union. I did invite Smithfield to come here. They were unable to come on short notice. They did promise to come at a future update show. We will hold them to that promise. With me now is Leela McDowell. She is the communications director for the Justice for Smithfield campaign. And she's here to talk about some of these claims. Leela, I want to ask you about, first of all, the composition of the workers there. I was reading there, it's about a half African-American, about 40% Latino. Does that sound about right?
That's about right. It changes sometimes, but that's essentially it. It's a predominantly black and Latino workforce. Some of the supervisors you have are white. So there is a racial dynamic, and it's interesting if you look at some of the testimony of a former manager, Sherry Breskin, that she gave. She talks about how the plant, you know, manipulated racial differences to try to keep people divided.
Give me some example of that.
Well, it was interesting, we haven't vetted the facts of this, but it was interesting. There was a white supervisor, crew leader, who was at a meeting that I attended recently of workers, and he had a knife stuck through his hand. And many of the workers that were there, and his hands were basically, I mean, the injuries there are...
Knife stuck through his hand working in the facility?
Working in the facility. I mean, the injuries at Smithfield are not minor injuries. There was a woman, for example, who was pregnant while she was working there. She begged to be put in a safer area. They refused to do it. A hog fell on her stomach. She lost her baby. She had a miscarriage. While she was in the hospital, she says, she was fired. And the reason they gave was that she didn't call in sick. Another man that I met had a knife stuck through his leg. When he was the one processing the hogs and cutting off the infectious part. So he's cutting off the infectious part. The knife slips. The floors are very slippery and greasy. It goes into his leg. It was very infected. They have a policy.
It's funny that these things still continue. I was talking at the outset about the famous book, The Jungle, by Upton Sinclair.
Very similar,
and
yeah.
They describe all these things. And when you read that book, you think, well, okay, that's turn of the century America. That's
right.
Sweatshops. That doesn't happen anymore. Thank God we have protections.
Right.
We have worker safety. Apparently, it still does happen.
It still does happen. And this gentleman who I met, I mean, it was heartbreaking because, to make a short story long, basically, when you get injured, they first make you take a drug test. So it delays your ability to get to the hospital. They bandaged it up. They sent him home. Of course, the next day, it's raging infection. He says he actually fell on the floor with some seizures. Finally goes to the hospital. 12 or 13 operations later, when I met him, he can't walk upstairs. He's under 40. He cannot play basketball with his kids. He cannot work anymore. He got a relatively small settlement from them. His life is ruined. The emotional trauma, the tension, the anger, the hurt, the pain, he says, ruined his marriage.
Let me go back, though. I don't want to leave a story hanging. You were telling me about the racial divide.
The racial divide.
The supervisor with a knife through his hand. Now, is this something that he had accidentally done in the plant,
he
or someone had done to him?
No, it accidentally happened in the plant. But I'm just saying, you know, these kinds of injuries happen all the time.
Right.
Injuries are up at the plant, and I'll go back to the crew leader. But injuries are up at the plant according to OSHA data, not just what the union says. OSHA data.
Office of Safety and Health Administration.
Thank you.
You have to explain to people sometimes.
Right.
That is, of course, the government agency developed because of books like The Jungle in order to protect worker safety in plants nationwide.
You got it. And
so OSHA says that
OSHA says, when you look at their data, injuries are up 200%, and that's probably
200%
from 2003 to 2006.
In 3 years, they've tripled.
Right.
And so has the plant tripled in size?
No.
Same plant, triple the injuries.
Triple injuries. Because they, you know, they're pushing production and all kinds of things like that. So anyway, the crew leader, it was very interesting, and this is an anecdote. I have to say we haven't vetted this to make sure everything he said was true. But one of the things that the workers talk about a lot is the abuse that they get from the supervisors. They're denied bathroom breaks, they say. They are, there was a recent issue this summer where they were denied clean drinking water. They're working in hot sun, hot temperatures, the hot sun. They petitioned for that. The management basically refused to, you know.
How expensive is water?
Yeah, a cooler. Well, they're spending millions of dollars on a lawsuit to try to silence us.
Right,
because
but they're not willing to spend a few hundred dollars on having water for people.
Water for people.
So the racial incident.
So it wasn't a racial incident, but it was just interesting that what he said. He said, "Look, we are trained to treat you that way." This is what he said. This is a, you know, it's on. He said Smithfield trains me, the crew leader.
White workers to.
Well, he didn't say white, but the way the racial breakdown is, many of the supervisors
are white. So
trained
to treat the
He said we are trained to treat the workers. To abuse you. And it was a very poignant moment because he's telling these workers who are complaining about abuse, I'm trained to treat you that way. And I hate it, but if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, let me ask you, in terms of the workers, if 40% of the workforce is Latino, we don't know how many of them are citizens and how many are illegal immigrants. One of the things that when people talk a lot about immigration, it's interesting because employers want illegal immigrants to work for them because they know that if they complain, they can send them to the immigration authorities. And there was some allegations of that at Smithfield.
Right. Well, actually, the courts found, the NLRB found, that that Smithfield used the threat of arrest by immigration authorities as a way to intimidate workers who were fighting for better working conditions.
So illegal immigrants, they can't complain at all. I mean, they can't take any action. They can't get a lawyer. They can't file a workers' compensation claim. They can't ask for health care because if they do, they're out the door.
Right. Well, that was one of the findings of the NLRB was that they were threatening workers with, you know, arrest by immigration authorities.
Which is interesting because, I mean, companies
if they
should be
up.
Punished for even hiring illegal immigrants. But this shows, I think, why people want them.
Right. Well,
because not because they're, I mean, I'm sure many of them are good workers, but they want them because they can mistreat them.
Well, they tend to go after vulnerable populations. I personally don't
Poor
believe.
People.
I don't believe companies should. I have a different view on immigration, but I don't. I think they go after poor people. They go after people who are in vulnerable situations. And
tell us about this community, Tar Heel, North Carolina. Is this a very poor community?
It's a poor community, and you see walking around Tar Heel, it's very interesting, what we call the walking wounded, because people have been so injured at this plant that they can't work anymore, or the work that they get is very modest. I mean, you have people who can't pick their children up anymore because the repetitive stress that they've gotten is so bad, and they've been thrown out in the streets. They're denied workers' compensation, and what are they supposed to do? So a lot of the workers actually come from Dillon because they have to go further and further away from Tar Heel because they've been so wounded.
We have a caller on the line. I always want to give time for my callers. Tom from Washington, D.C., welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hiya.
Hello, welcome.
I had a question. Hello?
Yes, Hi. You're on the air. Welcome.
Okay. I had a question about the election thing. What's wrong with a secret ballot? Seems like people could vote the way they want to vote then.
Yeah, no, secret ballot is wonderful. I think we would love to have a free and fair process, whatever that process is, for the workers at Smithfield to make their voices heard. You know, they've already signed a petition this summer. A majority of them signed a petition that was gathered under great duress within the plant. People were harassed. passing it out, they say. But at any rate, what
So a majority of workers have signed a petition to join the union already.
To asking for a union,
So there are 5,500 workers in the union.
Right.
You're saying more than half of them, more than 2,750, have already voted by signing this petition.
Well, it's not an official vote, but they've already made their sentiments known.
Well, I understand, by signing this petition.
But
now, there were two secret ballot elections in the past. Tell Tom what happened in those past elections.
Yeah, well, Tom, like I said, the problem with the election process that Smithfield wants to use, what they've done in the past is they break the law. So they beat workers. They used racial epithets against them. They fired many of them. They, who were union supporters, they harassed them, they threatened them, they intimidated. And that's not me saying it. It's not the union saying it. That's what the legal system in our country is saying that they did.
Okay, but Lila, so someone's being intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
If it's still a secret ballot,
here's the question still, I have.
I'll get you in a second, Tom, I promise. I promise to get back to you. Let me just ask you, if it's still a secret ballot, and maybe they don't trust it's a secret ballot, I don't know. Can't someone still vote for the union even if they're being intimidated?
Well, the issue isn't the secret ballot election. The issue is really the question of the company intimidating people. So as I said, we would welcome a free and fair election. The problem is what the company won't agree to do is to stay out of it. What you want is
When you say stay out of it?
In other words, to be neutral. So what
happens? We don't want the company telling workers don't join the union.
Right. Well, it's not just to tell, because what happens when they tell you, and it's like if you voted in a mayoral election, and you know you're going to vote for the mayor, but the mayor is the one who determines whether you're going to get paid or not. They determine, you know.
But isn't that always the case in a union election?
Well, let me just ask. No. Here's the question.
Go ahead, Tom.
What you're saying is that the secret ballot isn't secret, but it is. I mean, isn't it? I thought that there were federal regulators present, and I know that I read about that Smithfield, you know, had these problems in the earlier elections, but the federal regulators will be present. They will know that. The observers will be there. What's the problem? If somebody goes and wants to vote yes, who's going to know that they voted yes, even if there was a desire to?
Well, let's look at what happened in the past elections, because Smithfield has had two elections at the plant. And let's look at the history. So in 1994, they had secret ballot elections. And during those elections, the legal rulings found that this is a company that harassed, intimidated, illegally fired, and just committed all kinds of massive violations of the law, threatened them, and so on.
I'll tell you what, Tom, you're welcome to stay on the line. I know Lila has a lot more to say. We may have more callers that have more to say. But part of the problem with TV is you got to take a break.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a break. Tom, hang on. We will get your question answered. Folks, you can join in this discussion as well, whether you agree with Tom, Lila, or me, or anybody else. The toll-free number is 888-48-MARK. Back after this.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors.
Your friends.
Or your family.
People who want to share ideas,
opinions,
cultures, lifestyles,
art,
sports,
music,
events,
entertainment,
history,
science,
beliefs.
People who want to learn about television,
producing,
directing,
cameras,
audio,
lighting,
editing, or radio, talk, music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is.
You can say it here.
Because we're public access.
For the people.
By the people.
It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one. Between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare, please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website.
Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college. Except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about Smithfield Foods, the allegations of abusive worker conditions by the Smithfield Justice Campaign promoted by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and Smithfield's response, which is, okay, maybe they haven't admitted doing problems in the past, but the courts found they had problems in the past. Why not have a secret election? I'd like to show just briefly some of the findings from the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. As I said, two of the judges were appointed by Republicans, one by Ronald Reagan, one by George W. Bush. The third was appointed by Democrat Bill Clinton, but they all came to the same conclusion. I'm going to show it real here in bold type. Let's see if you can read it. In 1992, it's the large pork processing plant. They tried to organize the plant's employees once in 1994, once in 1997. So it hasn't been done in 10 years, both of which the union lost. The court found Smithfield was exceptionally hostile to union organizing activities. According to National Labor Relations Board findings, unchallenged here, so Smithfield couldn't challenge the findings of the federal group that oversees workers' rights, the National Labor Relations Board, the company threatened to fire employees who voted for the union, to freeze wages and shut the plant if the employees unionized, and to discipline employees who engaged in union activity. It also interrogated employees about their union support, confiscated union materials, videotaped and otherwise spied on its employees' union activity. It goes on and on and on with the things that happened. But let's take Smithfield's point for a second, Leela, and I'll get back to Tom because I know he shares these concerns. All right, Smithfield's been awful. All right, they have 10 years of illegal activity, of intimidating workers, spying on them, trying to prevent them from joining a union. The courts have found they've been punished. In fact, if they do it again, they're going to be held in contempt, according to this very opinion. Why not call their bluff? Why not say, all right, new slate. We're going to try it a third time. We're going to have a secret election. We're not going to look and see who the workers vote for. And if they vote for a union, fine, there's a union after all. Other Smithfield plants have unions. How do you respond?
Well, I think here's the thing, that we have to realize we're talking about real people. And these are human beings who have to go to work every day in horrible conditions, who routinely get severe injuries. We're talking about young men who lose their fingers. We're talking about, as I mentioned, the woman who miscarried. We're talking even about death. There was a young man who died several years ago, and of course Smithfield got a very minor fine for that. So we're talking about people every day who have very difficult, severe working conditions. It's a little unfair to ask them to go through the same process they went through in 94 and 97. Those were both secret ballot elections. There were both secret ballot elections. In 94, after all of the violations, Smithfield wrote a letter to the union and promised that 1997 would be different. They did the same thing they're doing now. They said, look, we'll hold a secret ballot election. We'll have a
Is it the workers don't trust that it's actually secret?
Well, let me finish. It's not that the workers don't trust that it's actually secret. It's that you cannot campaign for a union. You cannot talk about a union. You cannot even express that you might be for a union in a climate where you could be fired, intimidated, harassed, threatened, denied a bathroom break, or any number of other things if you're thought to be a union sympathizer. Not only did they do those things, they spied on workers. They interrogated
them. So in other words,
them.
If workers are talking amongst themselves about should we join a union, should we not join a union,
one of them
could be a plant for the company.
Exactly. Well, and also, how can you have a free and fair democratic process if I can't say to you, hey, Mark, I really am supporting this union because I'm tired of getting my fingers cut off and, I want to have some safe, I'd like to have a slower line speed here.
So what specifically are you asking Smithfield?
Like to just give a little bit of the history, though. So in 97, We got a letter saying, in writing, from Smithfield, we will hold another secret ballot election, we will accept a third party, neutral observer, and we'll even help pay for it. And we promise we're going to have a fair, free and fair election.
Same thing they're promising now.
There's nothing new. In 97, they had elections. We did call their bluff. We said, okay, we'll have a secret ballot election, we're going to trust you. Not only did they do all of the violations that they committed in 94, it was even worse. They assaulted people. They used racial epithets against people. It was even more egregious than it was in 94. What's the remedy for that? They're told to hang a sign on the wall. 9 years later, some of the people get their job back. Back pay, but they don't get paid for if they had been promoted. They get paid for where they were at that time. So they've lost 9 years of their life in terms of employment. So yes, they do get back pay, but 9 years? So these are workers who are suffering every day. They don't want us to do that again. They don't want us to say, well, let's have another election like we had in 94 and 97. And if that, you know, if Smithfield breaks the law again and commits egregious violations again, well, we'll wait another 9 or 10 years.
So what's the union proposal?
So the proposal is that we can have, there's many, many processes. You can have elections, there's many ways.
Will the petition work? I mean, if a majority have signed doesn't that make a union automatic under the law?
Well, not the petition that we have, but they do have a system where you can use petitions, and Singular has done that, and Harley
But the company
Edison.
Has to agree to do that.
But the company has to agree. The fundamental issue is that the company has to agree to, and there has to be some kind of sanction if they violate that, that's a meaningful sanction, like arbitration or any number of things. They have to agree to be neutral, to stay out of the process, allow the workers to speak freely. This is a company that has been found by Human Rights Watch to have severely abused its workers. They did two reports, 2000, 2005. Found by legal rulings to have severely violated the law and committed massive violations. It's filing a multi-million dollar lawsuit, which fundamentally says, because you spoke about this, you know, then that is a criminal violation.
So well, this wait, is wait, a because who spoke about what?
It's because members of the Smithfield Justice Campaign
spoke to Human Rights Watch.
Spoke to, for example, shares this information with the public through press reports.
They're trying to. Why would that be any kind of criminal violation? I'm confused.
Well, that's what we're being sued for.
For telling the public about these conditions.
For telling the public about the conditions.
I know Tom's got another question.
But let me just
Real
finish
quick.
My point.
Yep.
So clearly this is a company that wants to silence critics. If they're that repressive, I mean, this lawsuit is so fundamentally anti-democratic. Imagine what they're doing in the plant to people who have no voice. So they not only are they intimidating the people in the plant, they're trying to say, look, we're abusing these workers, and if you speak about it, we're going to sue you.
Kind of reminds me of the old civil rights era. Let me go back to Tom. I know you have more questions. Go ahead, Tom.
I just have one question. I just hope you just let me ask it. It won't take long.
Go ahead.
It seems like, you know, I mean, you got to decide whether you want to sort of make a point that these are bad guys or you want to get the plant organized. And if they did bad stuff 10 years ago, that you can't assume that's why you didn't win the elections, and I don't know why you don't. You know, they've been chastised by the federal authorities. Why not make sure they're watched as you can and get an election and get it over with?
Okay. Well, I think it's as I just explained that.
Why not call their bluff again? You called their bluff in '97. This time, unlike in '97. Leela, you've got more, you could say the whole world's watching, as they say sometimes with elections.
The world was,
you could put cameras in there, you could get call the national media.
Well, I don't
media.
Know if they would allow cameras in there. But I think the problem is you're talking about real people in real lives. It's not a game. And they deserve to have a free and fair and democratic process to choose whether they want a union or not. It's not us who said that the election should be thrown out. That's the courts that said that. And the reason the courts said that is because the company had total disregard for the law of this country and the law of the United States of America. They totally violated it. So you know, there is no assurance that they're not going to do it again. And you cannot subject these human beings to that. So what the workers are asking for is some kind of assurance that the company will not fire them, will not use racial epithets against them, will not beat them, will not harass, intimidate, and threaten them.
How can they get that kind of assurance? I mean,
the company has to agree to it. The company has to agree with some kind of, you know, some kind of
consent agreement.
Some kind of consent agreement and some kind of sanction if they break it. Right now, under the system, there is no real meaningful sanction. If they did everything they did in 97, the worst that would happen is they'd be told to call yet another election and they'd have to hang a sign.
So you want them to say, look, if we might have another secret ballot election on the grounds at Smithfield. If you violate again, how about liquidated damages? You know, you pay $10 million, you give all your workers double their salary.
Something, right.
If you violate the law again. In other words, make it so that it's not you have to file a complaint and wait 9 years, but there'll be real penalties right away. And Smithfield, if they're acting in good faith, should say, all right, we'll do it.
Hang on, I got more callers for you. They walked away from the table because they refused to agree to that.
All they
would agree to, essentially, is to do the same thing they did in 1990.
All right, we have another caller from Washington. Eric, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Well, I appreciate that you're doing this show on Smithfield. This is a really lively discussion, and I've been following the issue sporadically for the last couple of years. But I didn't realize until last week that the Food Network chef Paula Dean is actually a spokesperson for Smithfield Foods. I heard her interviewed on the Diane Rehm show on NPR.
Yes.
And I was a little shocked. My mom is a fan of Paula's. You know, she seems like a nice lady. But she, when she was sort of defending past practices of Smithfield, she said something that really kind of disturbed me. You know, she was saying that the workers were, you know, happy, and I imagine that that's, you know, she doesn't know a lot about what goes on in the plant. But then she said, well, the workers need to understand that work is work. This isn't play. And I don't know. I guess I was, that just sort of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, people being lazy. We're talking about people being injured on the job.
Eric, I'm glad you called in. You gave me a great excuse to play a video that I've been planning to show. So I want to show a video of Paula Dean on Larry King. This is a video prepared by the Smithfield Justice Campaign. And I want to show that video to you and to the listeners. And then I want to also show you a Smithfield video prepared by the company. So hang on a second. Let's
okay.
show, first of all, we're going to show, this is Paula
Smithfield is a good company. It's a good company. And these people are so happy to have their jobs, good benefits, and, you know, they're happy.
But you will meet with them if they want to meet.
Absolutely.
Because I'd like, we'll set up the meeting, we'll do it right here.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is a promotional campaign that you all put out, right? You put out this video?
Yeah, and what we're hoping is people will call and email Paula Dean and say, meet with the workers, listen to their stories. Our hope is that this is a humane woman, and that once she hears the truth from these workers directly, that she will change her tune and speak out on their behalf.
Now, I heard her interview on NPR, as did Eric, and she basically said, I did talk with workers, and they assured me everything is hunky-dory. And I was a little upset with Diane Reams because I would have wanted to know, which workers did you talk to? Did you talk to workers that the management chose and stuck you in a room and said, you better tell her the right thing or your jobs are in trouble? Or did she go and actually meet some of the workers that had complained on your website? I suspect if she'd done the latter, you folks would know about it. So it's a very interesting thing. I'm glad Eric called in. When we come back, I want to play the Smithfield video where they tell us that the workers are very happy and also take some more phone calls. The toll-free number is on your screen, 888-488-MARK, the local number 571-749-1166. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Inside Scoop, we're talking about Smithfield Foods, the largest pork producer in the United States and their largest plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, the largest pork processing facility in the United States, and the allegations that it's really not so different from good old Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, the conditions that occurred 100 years ago. My guest is Lila McDowell. She is with the Smithfield Justice Campaign. She's also with the United Food and Commercial Workers. Lila, you were telling us about the Paula Deen campaign. Now, Paula Deen, I have to admit, maybe I don't get around enough, but I didn't know who she was until I studied up for today. But apparently she is a cook and she sells...
Oh, she's huge. It's amazing. She sells
I guess I don't cook enough.
I know. I didn't really know her that well either. But I think many of the people who are trying to talk to Paula Deen and get to Paula Deen with this message are her fans, because she is very beloved. She has this very interesting human story herself. Lost her parents when she was young. Had an alcoholic husband.
And she sold cookbooks, I guess.
She not only sells cookbooks. I mean, she's a bestseller. She's a New York Times bestseller. She has the top Food Network show.
The Julia Child, I guess, of our day.
Yeah, she's got all these magazines.
And now she's a paid spokeswoman for Smithfield Foods?
She's a paid spokeswoman for Smithfield Foods. So what we've been doing is the workers and their supporters. A lot of faith groups, and these workers have a lot of supporters, like Danny Glover and Susan Sarandon and Senator John Edwards and the NAACP and, you know, immigrant rights groups, and many, many, many people of good faith and good heart are supporting these workers. So supporters have been going around to the Paula Deen shows and to her book signings and asking her, keep the promise you made on Larry King Live, keep the promise you made, Paula Deen, meet with these workers who are trying to meet with them, let them hear their stories and do the right thing. So people can find out more about this by going to smithfieldjustice.com. If they go to smithfieldjustice.com, we have a wonderful website designer who has a website that has a lot of information, not just
about... By the way, there's a link to it from my website, radioinsightscoop.com, so people can go there directly.
Thank you.
Now, and apparently if they want to get Paula Deen to do something, they go to pauladeen.com.
Pauladeen.com,
and ask, and ask her. I heard that, as Eric did, who called in, the end of that interview where she said, you know, I talked with workers, and again, I think maybe she'd been on my show, I would have asked the next question that Diane Reams didn't ask. Which workers did you talk to? Did you meet them at the plant? Or did she meet, you know, a random smattering of workers? Right. I suspect it's the former, not the latter. We've got Steve from Arlington. Steve, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Yeah. I have a question. I've read some information that Smithfield says that it would pay to have a third party like the Jimmy Carter Center monitor these elections. You know, here's an organization that's got a lot of objectivity. Jimmy Carter's monitored free elections in third world countries. Would that be an opportunity to provide a fair election? Seems like that would be something that would help to solve this problem. I'll hang up and answer my
question. Well, Steve, let me just ask you a question before you hang up, because
sure.
Lila sort of has addressed this already. What she says basically is if there's another unfair election, then basically the workers have to wait another 10 years and file a complaint and so forth. She says the union has proposed that Smithfield basically pay a penalty if it's unfair this time. In other words, it'll be fair, but if the Carter Center or any other neutral observer says it's unfair, then Smithfield would be willing to pay a penalty, $1 million or doubling workers' salaries or something like that. Do you think that's a fair response?
Well, I would ask the question again, you know, does a third party provide that answer? It seems like to me that that would be the fair way to do it.
Well, now my question for you is, if the third party says it's unfair, do you think Smithfield should, you know, bet and say, look, we are so sure we're going to be fair that if the third party says it's unfair, you know, we'll give every worker a $3 raise? I mean, that would seem to be fair because it would keep Smithfield honest and make them do a fair election. What do you think?
Well, I think from what I've read, that Smithfield's position is that if they vote for union representation and free elections, it's going to respect their decision.
Yeah, but the problem is that they haven't done that, and they're not, even now as we speak, even during the negotiations, they were harassing, threatening, intimidating workers. They were, they fired union supporters very recently. So the problem is Smithfield, and if you look at the history, and I don't want to take too much time because we've talked about it a lot, but if you look at the history, if you look at what the legal rulings have said, if you look at what the National Labor Relations Board under the Bush administration have said, this is a company that doesn't play fair. It's a company that has no history of playing fair. So you have to have some kind of meaningful sanction that's going to compel them to play fair.
Let me suggest that this may be a problem with the law. I mean, it seems to me strange that here you have a company that has all these violations and all the NLRB does is say, do it right. I mean, here for 10 years they've done it wrong, and I read the Tennessee Court of Appeals decision, and they agree with you on all the facts, everything, the worker intimidation, it's all there, the Reagan judges agree, but they basically say, and we're going to insist they do the right thing this
right.
time. It sounds like you need maybe a law from Congress or maybe a new president, I don't know, but someone who would enforce that law and say, look, if you violated again, if the Carter Center watches and they say it was an unfair election, boom, it goes down, I don't know, criminal sanctions,
right.
something like that.
Well, that's the fundamental problem, and that's why you're between this rock and a hard place. So you have to get the company to agree to accept some sanctions in order to have a free and fair process. And I just repeat that these workers really deserve a democratic free and fair process to vote. And that's all they're asking for, that's all the union is asking for in supporting them, is that there be a free and fair process, free of the kind of intimidation and coercion that Smithfield has done every single time.
Maybe I need to talk to your lawyer, but I would wonder if they could be held in contempt, whether you could actually take the CEOs and put them in jail if they don't have another free and fair election. That would be an incentive.
That would be a powerful sanction.
The company did present their side of the story, and I do want to show that to listeners as well. This comes from SmithfieldFacts.com, which is also linked on my website at RadioInsideScoop.com. This is the company's side of the story.
Smithfield, a look inside.
It's hard work, but it's good work.
At Smithfield, we do all we can to prevent accidents.
The National Safety Council says Smithfield is one of the best.
OSHA praised our safety programs.
We do all we can, but if accidents happen, we have a doctor right here.
At Smithfield, safety is number one. Smithfield, quality food, good jobs.
Leila, your response?
Well, unfortunately, I wish it were like that. Then probably the workers would be fine, but the facts don't back that up. Human Rights Watch has written two reports in 2000, 2005, documenting the widespread dangerous conditions
Maybe
there.
Maybe we can show some of that as you talk. Go ahead.
In addition, as I had mentioned earlier, OSHA data itself, and they've been fined numerous times by OSHA, OSHA data shows that injuries are up 200% from 2003 to 2006. And when you talk to workers, they tell you a lot of nightmare scenarios. And, you know, you can find out a lot more of that. In fact, you can see some of the workers themselves talking about it on our website, SmithfieldJustice.com.
Let's quickly show the screen if we can. This is the Human Rights Watch report, which you can get from their website. It talks all about the historical background, the facts, it has footnotes. It talks about workplace safety. I'll just read to you one quote that I found very powerful. The line is so fast, there's no time to sharpen the knife. The knife gets dull and you have to cut harder. That's when it really starts to hurt. That's when you cut yourself. I cut my hand at the end of my shift around 10:30 at night. I went to the clinic the next day at 11 a.m. They gave me stitches and told me to come back before the start of my shift to check on the stitches. They told me to go back to work at 3. I never stopped working. And it goes on about people who are afraid they'll be fired if they complain, fired, you know, going into freezing conditions. The main thing you seem to hear from these workers is, if we complain, we'll be fired. If we try to get workers' comp, we'll be fired. If we try to go to court or seek union representation, we'll be fired. And I guess this community has so many unemployed people, they can just fill them right in with new workers.
Right. That's what happens. And like I said, they go further and further away to get people. So now they bring in a lot of people from Dillon, South Carolina. But that's what the workers are asking for. They're asking for just a safe place to work.
What are you asking listeners to do, those that watch this show? What would you like to see people
do? Well, the
first
thing, we would love it if listeners would go to our website, smithfieldjustice.com, because there's always, and join our email list. We have many actions. Obviously, you know, if you're going to the supermarket this holiday and you want a ham, you know, bypass Smithfield, because those are products that are packaged with abuse and packaged with the blood, sweat, and tears.
And virtually every store would sell other brands as well.
Yeah, there's many, and I think they taste better anyway.
Okay.
But at any rate, I think that's one thing you can do. Please, you know, let Paula Deen know that you care about these workers. And again, visit us at the website, smithfieldjustice.com.
And just to be clear, I did talk with Smithfield representatives. I did offer to have them come on the show. They said I didn't give them enough time. They did provide a statement, which I read on the air. And they promised me that in February or March, we're going to have an update show. So I'm happy to have you back. On one side, I'll have the Smithfield representative on the other side, and they can make their case to the people that watch the Inside Scoop.
We look forward to that.
Because I firmly believe that all sides should be represented here. I don't want to give just one side. I will say, though, that as I read the horrific stories, I mean, it's scary stuff. There's a story about a guy who lost his fingertips, with the knives, because they make them go very fast in the hog plant. And before they let him sew on his fingertips, he had to take a drug test.
Right.
And by the time he took the drug test and passed, there was no time to sew the fingers. You couldn't sew them back on. It was too late. What are they doing with the drug test? They're trying to, prove someone's using drugs?
It makes it very easy for them to, if they were able to find it, they could say that they could deny them workers' compensation.
I mean, why can't you, as you're sewing on the fingers,
take
some
blood test,
and
right.
do it? I'm not saying they can't take their drug test, but at least, my God, give the guy his fingers.
But this is what happens. The other thing that happens is people get injured, they're sent right back to work, so they work on injuries, and then those injuries become permanent injuries. They become much more severe, and it cripples them for life.
We only have a few seconds left. Is Smithfield typical or atypical of other meatpacking plants? And I'm after you just 10 seconds.
Well, if you look at some of the union plants, it's very different. In the union plants, the workers and the management work together to develop a safe working environment.
Linda McDowell, I appreciate your coming here on the Inside Scoop, and I want you to come back one day when we have the Smithfield representative come on the air, and we will get both sides and let the listeners decide. I appreciate your listening in every Sunday at 6:30. Get more of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine.